The Volume.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, November 10th, and we are talking about Jokic Morris, the showdown to end all showdowns. We're talking about Scottie Pippen. We're talking about crying about Steph Curry and Summer Walker, and we're wrapping up our conversation about Marcus Thompson's dynasties. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good buddies, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John, a.k.a. Young Paternity Leave.
I mean, I'm off now, G. We back working today. Yeah, what's up, though, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike, and what's up, y'all? John, how's the baby doing?
She cool, man. I just put her down, actually. You know what I mean? This is the time when she really sleeps. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's been cool, man. She's doing good, man. I mean.
Tell her I'm jealous of her sleep schedule. I would also like to be asleep
right now.
Take
a fucking nap right now, bro.
Nah, you don't want that sleep schedule, bub. She was up like four times. And she's starting to like really, really doodle now. Like the grown man smelling shit. Like I'm holding her and she looking me in my face, eyes open, like I'm hearing that shit. And I'm already starting to become annoying, which I always knew I'd be an annoying father. Like she's like, shit, I'm like, dude, you gonna really shit on, like when I'm holding you, dude? You know what I mean? Like, is this what we're doing, dude? Really? And she's like, she'll be hella annoyed by it, like about me using that voice. And then she opens her eyes and stares in my face, and I'm all like, oh, hi, the little baby. You know what I mean? Like, the little baby wants to come and play. Like, but yeah, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, for well, she's making real poops now because she's pooping food out. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, actual.
It's a different world. Yeah,
the meconium or whatever the fuck that the meconin.
At first I thought it was meconin.
I'm like, why did meconin name himself after baby shit? But it's meconium, I believe. But anyway, that's made its way out, and actual food is coming out. You know, she's gaining weight back again. You know, they lose weight initially, so yeah, we're excited. Yeah.
Can one of you who watched the Inside the NBA thing explain what happened with our tweets on there? I just had a bunch of people. Shar and I were watching the movie. Oh, we're talking about Harder They Fall today, too. Shar and I were watching it last night, and then a bunch of people were texting me that they had me and Tyler's tweets up on it or something, but I have not seen it.
Yeah, it was just, you know, Chuck was just talking about KD's activity on Twitter. KD was like, yeah, I enjoy interacting with the fans, and they just flashed that. They didn't talk about us in particular, so.
Oh, okay.
It was really lazy to me. Because I'm thinking, like, you just really just showed a fucking tweet. Show the context. The fucking beauty of the tweet is in the context. You know what I mean? Show how, you know what I mean? Like, I know it doesn't add to the story.
They don't give a fuck.
They're not going to show me dunking on KD about his unvaccinated teammate, bro. They're not going to show that on the NBA on TNT, dog.
But if you're going to show that text, who is Tyler without the context? It's not Tyler. Is it Tyler Hero they think thought we were talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think they should, if they're going to use that text, show the context. If not, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the purpose? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I was let down. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, my niggas on motherfucking TNT going crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
and it was just,
they
it,
didn't
it was
show
just
your
Kodak,
name, which is fire.
It was
which
a Kodak
still
moment
a fire.
For me. Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's still fire. So I'm happy about that.
Welcome like, to your Kodak the, moment.
Show the full stunt, nigga. Show the full stunt, nigga. My niggas dunked on this man.
All right, let's talk about this is my favorite NBA storyline in a maybe since the police presence at Staples Center between the fucking Rockets and the Clippers.
Oh yeah, the secret tunnel fucking
yeah.
That was a doozy, buddy.
Let's talk about the Jokic brothers and the Morris twins and everything that occurred. Tyler, can you describe the play that happened that started all this?
Okay, so I feel like a big part that people are missing is it all started with the rebound, where you can see it looks inadvertent. It doesn't look intentional on Jokic's part, but it looks like he pulls Bam down by his shoulder and he grabs the board. He comes down. Then Markieff Morris leans into him with a forearm in his chest, and he turns his back, and then Jokic unleashed hell. he hit that motherfucker with the fucking seismic blast in his back, and here we are now. It's been a bunch of tough guy theatrics, because as the fucking wise Lonzo Ball once said years ago as a rookie, wisdom beyond his years, ain't nobody in the NBA trying to fight. They aren't, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and there's been a lot of talk about who was wrong here, who was wrong. And I am of the firm belief that once you put your hands on someone, there is no such thing as a cheap shot after that. You know what I mean? Like, once you put your hands on someone and you turn your back on them, that's on you, dog. What the fuck are you doing? You think you can lean into this motherfucking 7-foot Serbian with a forearm and just go about your business like nothing is going to come from that? So, I mean, Markieff Morris said it himself. Yo, that was dumb of me to turn my back on him. I got to charge it to the game. And, yeah, I agree, Markieff. You fucked up.
I think it was a little more than a lean, too. You know what I mean? He kind of jumped up into him with the
It was
the,
a dirty
the,
foul.
The yeah.
It was not a basketball play.
It was not a basketball. It was a dirty foul. And I don't even think he released hell. Like, what's in between? Like I think he's just 7 foot and just and he's just strong and been fighting literal fucking robots and his brothers his whole life. And so he just pushed him like, get the fuck up off me. And Markieff was like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if he really, really tried to bust his ass that way. You know what I mean? I just think he's just a big ass motherfucker, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's funny. Like, you can't really even like fake talk shit to those guys. Like, nobody believes you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like with those brothers. Like, come on. Are we really gonna talk shit to them? Look in their eyes. Look in their eyes, bro. They've seen shit that we'll never see. You feel me? Like, it's just different.
So after the game, you know, the Heat were doing a lot of woofing. There was a picture of a security guard blocking them from going after, you know, Joker afterwards. There was the video of Jimmy Butler who just calmly walked away from the incident, then saw the replay or something, is being held back, yelling, you know, like, come meet
run
me
that
out back or whatever. And so then the next morning, the Jokic brothers created a Twitter account called the Jokic brothers and tweeted, you know, you do not want to fuck with us, basically, and signed it the Jokic brothers, which I love. And I think it was Markieff responded, And then we got a day-long Twitter debate about whether war-torn Serbia or the inner city of Philadelphia is a harder place to grow up. But I didn't enjoy the debate, but I enjoyed the rest of it. It was top-notch posturing.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, that fucking tweet from the Jokic brothers where they said, you want to leave this where it is. Those are some motherfuckers who are ready to go wherever you want to take it, bro. If you say some shit like that, you want to leave this where it is? Like, I was like, yeah, these motherfuckers are all the way down to fucking fight in the arena, at half court, whatever y'all are on, bro.
This, you see the one, too, the dude was like, they couldn't handle these Miami streets. And homie just said, they're from Serbia. My nigga, like, stop it, dog. Like,
they grew up in a Serbia that was coming out of a six-way civil war that had been going on for like 10 years that was capped off by NATO bombing the shit out of the whole country. Mm. And then an ongoing war that made it so that the Jokic brothers did not turn on an electric light in their house for like 2 years. They used to play, Jokic said, by his brothers throwing knives at him. He said one time his oldest brother, who's the really fucking, if you just like look at this dude, he looks like every supervillain in a fucking movie we watched growing up in the 1980s.
Like, he hasn't smiled in like 7.5 years, probably. His brother won MVP, was just like, he nodded probably, and that's the, you know what I'm saying?
I feel about his back of neck tattoo the way that like white women felt about neck or face tattoos on black people 20 years ago. Like, I see the back of his neck tattoo and it's like, ugh.
You grab your purse,
ooh, clutch your pearls.
I locked my door. I ran to double check the deadbolt on the door when I saw that shit. You know, like he's just a different dude. His name is Strahinja, which means bringer of fear.
What the fuck?
In fucking Croatian. And John, you've got a newborn, and I would just want you to think about that moment that you described on the last pod where you were looking at Somia for the first time and you're holding her. And I want you to think about what kind of father you'd have to be to go, I'm going to name her Bringer of Fear.
Bro, like, couldn't even imagine that shit. And the fact, what's wild is, like, I know, we know, like, his brothers is crazy or whatever, or they really about that, you feel me? But, like, imagine like how good Jokic hands are when he had to like they were playing with him like by throwing knives at him. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about older brothers bullying, you know, and the younger brother got to have hands because he's fighting his older brother his whole life. They was throwing knives at my man. You feel me? Like to play like, bro, Jokic really about that. You see how comfortable he was when Butler was talking shit? It literally did not it was nothing to him. Dog, stop playing. This ain't the one.
He is not.
It's just not. It's fun. It looks fun. You know what I mean? Run that. Butler doing all that shit. Bro, you don't want that, though. Stop it. He's 60 pounds heavier than you, 70 pounds heavier than you, and I think he really got them joints, bro. He can punch you from across the street. He ain't playing.
And he's the
runt. I
just
don't see how that wins.
He's the runt of the Jokic family.
Bro.
Like, he's the little dude. Like, he gets noogies at Thanksgiving dinner in Serbia, bro. Like...
I don't see how you feel like you can win that. I know, Jimmy, we've seen you do great things. This is different, though, man.
Yeah. It's something I was thinking about is that Jokic is unique in this sense. He's an anomaly in this sense. It's always been kind of conventional NBA wisdom. You get an MVP caliber player, a player who you can, you know, link your fucking wagon to and go to a championship. If you get a player that good, that player is going to draw a lot of animosity, a lot of ire from the opposing player. He's going to get a lot of dirty fouls. So the conventional wisdom has always been you need a goon on your squad if you get a player that good to protect that guy. Jokic is his own fucking goon. Like, we don't see that. We don't see a player this good. Like I was thinking, what's an MVP? Who's an MVP who has been his own security detail as well? And I might have to go all the way back to, like, Larry Bird, I'm thinking, if you're talking about a guy who's MVP in, like, first team all hands. And you know what I mean? Like, he's very unique in that regard because, you know, usually see, you know, MJ needed Oakley. Fucking Bron needed Udonis. You know, motherfucking Zeke had Mahorn and Lambeer. Jokic has Jokic, bro. And that's it. And that's all he needs.
First team all hands. Hey, NBA, run that. We need that too. Yeah. Add that to the end of the season docky, you feel me?
Being Jokic's goon is like being Rambo's bodyguard or something, though. You're absolutely right. It's like, what's the, like, what are you just here for the fucking craft services? Like,
I remember I saw The Rock live in person, like working out, and he was bigger than his bodyguards. Right. And I'm like, he was gonna protect them if something went down. You feel me? Like, he's enormous. So that's the same situation. Like,
yeah. I think like, and it is absolutely no disrespect to how shitty it can be to grow up in America and how violent it can be to grow up in some places in America, but whenever you see the words war-torn in someone's bio, it's just different, bro. Like, their whole country is like the worst parts of the inner city in LA or Long Beach or Philly. Like, that, you know what I mean? There's no respite from it when your brothers are throwing knives at you. They're doing that because that's the frame of reference of violence and the value of human life in the world that they grew up in. And that's why Jokic is so calm when Jimmy's, he's like, he knows exactly what Lonzo knew. He's like, I know what someone, I know what it looks like when someone actually would fight and kill you. And it doesn't look like anything I've ever seen in this rectangle in my professional career.
Exactly.
I don't think Jokic is talk shit. He just does it. And then he's over it. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? He pushed the fuck out of him. It was Gucci. They was talking shit. And it's like, this is not worth participating in. He had zero emotion. He wasn't mad or happy. He was just unbothered. And that, to me, somebody in that much heat, everybody's mad at him, and he's unbothered, that's a motherfucker that you don't want to fuck with.
Yeah. That's the thing about NBA players is they don't fight because they didn't grow up fighting. These motherfuckers were 6 feet tall in fourth grade, bro. No one ever tried them. But Jokic, on the other hand, had those two fucking Siberian bears he was living with. You know, he was forged in the fire, so he's with that shit at all times, bro.
And
Jokic
parents,
is a different dude.
And parents who named their oldest sibling the bringer of fear. So I'm guessing the parents were not like, hey,
coddling
guys,
him.
Leave Nikola alone. I'm guessing he didn't tattle after the knife throwing story. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like that was the environment he grew up in as a whole.
The fact that he told the knife throwing story shows how, like, dude, I'm not telling somebody that my older siblings were playing with, like, throwing knives at me, because I understand how that comes across. He doesn't really understand how wild that truly is. Because that was probably one of the more normal parts of his childhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the phrase he used to describe it was, so that was a little crazy.
A little? So
that was a little crazy.
A little?
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. But you know what? We'll talk about it later when we're talking about the rest of Marcus's book. But I think reading Dynasties really underlined for me, like, we need more of this in the NBA. Like, it is WWE. It is theatrics. But that's what, when you look back on, I mean, I've just been reliving my own basketball history. You look back on Bulls, Jazz, Lakers, Spurs. I mean, I know, you know, Lakers, Celtics for people who are a little older than us. But, like, those rivalries where there was genuine dislike between fan bases and the players, like, that's the shit we still care about the most. Like, Warriors Braun, right? Like, that's the stuff that gets people the most excited. So, like, am I all of a sudden definitely tapping in for Nuggets Heat in Miami? 100%. So, yeah. And because it's WWE, no one's really getting hurt. You know, I mean, I know Morris could have face planted and really hurt himself after getting shoved, I guess, bro. But, like, at the end of it's two dudes pushing each other.
Yeah,
you know, like, so... I do think we need a little bit more of this kind of actual, you know, spice a little bit, man. I think it's good for basketball. I think it's good for, it's exciting for me as a fan, honestly.
We don't need people punched in the face and tasting their spinal fluid again. But you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, a little pushing and shoving, actual dislike. That's cool. You know what I mean?
Getting some crazy cartoon character brothers involved. You know, like, that was a
fun. I don't know, actually. I like them tweeting, but keep it like they said.
I just mean as characters.
At.
Keep them on the sideline, for sure. 100, I'm not looking for a brawl at half court or whatever, but, you know, just a little.
I believe anything those dudes say. There's like four people on the planet that say some shit, and I'm like, yeah, they about. I believe anything that comes out of their mouth, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that dude went to the tattoo artist with the biggest neck in history and was like, I want you to tattoo the back of my neck. And the artist was like, what do you want me to do? He's like, just put a tattoo on it.
What the fuck else you think you're supposed to do, tattoo artist?
Like, just cover the whole thing in a tattoo.
Duh. And the tattoo artist did that.
And he did. He was like, all right. Shit, you know.
No more questions. You feel me?
The NFL season is flying by, and there's a big Week 10 Monday night matchup between division rivals the Rams and the 49ers. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. This is not a particularly enjoyable ad read for me because I'm a huge 49ers fan, and they suck this year. So I would, if I were you, take the Rams money line. I would take the Rams with the spread, and I would take Aaron Donald over on sacks or Cooper Kupp anytime touchdown to build a same-game parlay because the Niners are trash. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, and it's safe and secure. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code JNJ this week before the Rams take on the 49ers. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code JNJ. That's J&J so they know that we sent you. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Again, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Speaking of getting needled in the back, let's talk about Scottie Pippen. I don't understand the tour that Scottie Pippen is on right now, but Tyler, how do you feel about this just unending list of grievances that Scottie's been pulling out for the, we were going to talk about this on the last show and we're like, we don't really have anything to say, but he's continued to every day make some new statement or release some new expert about Michael Jordan from his new book.
I think we got to hear Scottie out. I mean, look, I do think that Scottie is getting these sound bites off to push the book. I also 100%. Think this is how he genuinely feels. I do believe that. And it just that fucking Bulls dynasty just did not seem fun to anybody, really. Not even to Mike necessarily. You know what I mean? And you know, Scottie's whole shit is yo, we really helped you, you know, like Scottie said, you know, you're not Mike without me. And Mike was always going to be Mike, but the legacy, of course, is different without Scottie. He's not the six-time fucking champion without Scottie. He's not the dude who nobody ate for the six straight full seasons when he played full seasons, you know, minus the 1.5 he took off. So of course MJ's legacy is completely different without Pip. MJ was 0-9 in the playoffs before Pippen came along. Didn't win a single playoff game until Pippen came on board. So I do agree with Pippen on that. I mean, MJ would have been the multiple-time MVP. He would have been the 30-point-per-game guy without Pip. But he would not be the fucking, you know, the god at the top of basketball Mount Olympus without Pippen. That is a legitimate statement from Scottie. I don't give a fuck what anyone says.
No, I mean, that makes 100% sense. I'm just wondering where the heel turn was. You know what I mean? Because he was like swinging off of Jordan in like these Brian Jordan conversations, you know what I mean? Like to almost to ignorance, you know what I mean? Where he would take up for Jordan. I'm wondering if the last dance is where he was just like, yo, this nigga barely showed me any love. He really thinks it was just him. And like, you know, Scottie was a top 50 player of all fucking time. You know what I mean? One of the best defenders we'd ever seen. When Jordan wasn't there, he was like third in MVP votes. You know what I mean? When he retired. You know, like, so, and I think they lost to the Knicks who won the Eastern Conference, you know, like in seven games in the semifinals. So like, dog, like it's like he was an incredible player and he minimized himself to become a role player in order for Jordan to, you know, like when they showed the Popeye shit, I look like this. So Jordan can hold the, you know, the trophy, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's
he looked like this. So Jordan could look like this.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I see where he's, I just wonder where the heel turn was. And I think it may have been the last dance, but I think there's some valid shit. But I want to shout out Tyler Tynes though. He's fucking flourishing.
Oh, yeah. He's
and I love how he's flourishing. Where like he was on talk. He was talking to Scottie Pippen on GQ with pink hair and fucking Stussy Burks on. Like, the kids, like, looking at that, like, me at 23, I'm looking at Tyler like, like this is that's representation. Sure. You know what I mean? That's hella inspiring. But yeah, I don't know what happened with Pippen. I don't get it. He sells books, but I don't know how to serve him long term.
I think you're exactly right. He seems to really genuinely have been hurt by the way The Last Dance was cut together. And so I think that it just sort of the timing lined up. Someone tweeted, and you know, this anti-MJ fucking press tour at this point is on its second week, so forgive me for not remembering who. Someone tweeted at the beginning, and I want to say it might have been J.A. Adonde, that it really just made them sad. That it was like, Scottie does deserve his own place and his own recognition, but even now, in 2021, the way he's selling books is talking about Michael Jordan.
It's kind of desperate. It's a desperate move.
Well, and it is just, if you really believe, and I agree with Tyler that he has a point and he deserves to be heard out, it makes it even sadder. You know, it's like the only way still that he can kind of get any kind of buzz or notoriety around his book is by making it a commentary on the documentary about Michael Jordan that he felt like was too much about Michael Jordan.
I mean, the most interesting thing about Scottie is his link to Michael Jordan. I mean, there's no denying that. And it's got to be a terrible fucking feeling to know that you are forever linked in the most, you know, notable way to someone who you felt didn't fully appreciate you. That's got to be a real tough spot to be in. And it seems like Pip's airing that shit out. Seems like it's been eating away at him for fucking decades now.
And John makes a great point, man. It's not that's not going anywhere good. You know what I mean? That's not going to lead to him getting more. It's going to lead to him becoming a meme of like, you know, oh, you brought someone lunch and they didn't say thank you and you go, don't Pippin me or whatever. You know what I mean? Like that's what it's going to turn into. It's not going to turn into everyone going, you know what? He has a point. Like,
I mean, because like the thing is like you're going to sell these books, right? Because it's interesting. But like when you're saying like, you know, comparing the bad bat game to the flu game, you know what I mean? And like, that's not the way that you're going to appreciate you playing with a bad back. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, by minimizing MJ, there's really no minimizing what he did, you know, but it's not interesting unless you do that. So, like, you sell these books, but, you know, like, that's you have this one shot to make money off this, and then nobody gives a fuck about anything else you said because you're minimizing shit that you sound – I mean, he sounds kind of ignorant, you know what I'm saying, minimizing these things, you know what I mean? Just like he sounded ignorant taking up for Jordan, you know, against LeBron and shit like that, so – I don't know, man. To me, it comes off as desperate.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And more than just like him, just like, I think he feels like he was like slighted, obviously, and he should, you know what I mean? But there's a sense of like, there's a sense of desperation that you can't ignore. So
yeah, well, I mean, we're not discussing him if he's going on this press tour and bashing his Portland teammates and talking about button heads with Bonzi Wells, right? Like, no one would give a fuck about that. You know what I mean? So,
or if he was saying, like, how good I was, nobody would give a fuck about that either. He'd get, like, 4 retweets, nigga. Do you even know what Scottie Pippen's Twitter is if he has one? Nigga, I don't even know if the nigga got a shit. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't checking for that nigga unless he's talking, like you said, unless he's talking about MJ. So,
I do think if I could give him any advice, it would be advice that Colin Cowherd mentioned to us when we were on his podcast that, you know, one of us asked him about how do you kind of deal with the amount of people who think you're an asshole on a given basis. And he was like, I don't think about it. I just keep shooting. You know what I mean? He was like, you just keep going and going and going. And it's like, if Scottie wants more recognition for the bad bat game, don't talk about the flu game. You can't win that conversation. Everyone knows about the flu game. Pay someone to produce a fucking 2-minute short, a 3-minute short about the bad bat game. Like, put your own shit out there that is not just a commentary on the dude you're saying everyone talks about too much. Like, it's counterproductive to engage in the argument versus making an argument for yourself.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I think Twitter would cease to exist before that actually popped off. Like, that would take 15 years for us to, like, really start to get, you know, oh, yeah, mate, you know what I mean? You know, like.
I agree.
And so, like, the quick way to get the attention is by talking shit, but it's only going to last. It comes and goes very quickly, you know what I mean? So, I mean, if you're going to, you know, build yourself up as anti-Jordan, that's not going to last long because right. It's motherfucking MJ who you building yourself up
you're
against.
You're not outlasting, I mean? Michael Jordan.
It's not going to happen.
The NBA, you know, might not outlast Michael Jordan.
You know, right? You feel me? No, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's that big of a deal. But congrats to Scotty on the hairline. I mean, we can't, you know, he won that battle. You know what I mean? Like, you got a nice, solid hairline. You know, he's doing young nigga stuff with his hair, you know, and I'm very impressed by that, but you know, everything else is like a, you know what I mean?
Congrats on the little Uzi dread, Scotty, but yeah, I guess that's where it stops.
I mean, bro, that, I mean, are we joking? But also, congrats on the little Uzi dread. I mean, that's crazy for him to be doing that at that age, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Let's talk about Steph Curry dropped 50 points and the TV broadcaster for the home team. Actually, who are they playing? I don't even remember who they were playing.
The Hawks.
They're in Atlanta, yeah. Right? The Atlanta color commentator on their home TV channel started acting like he pulled his actual dick out and was waggling it around at fans or something. He read his whole Wikipedia. He goes, MVP, finals MVP, 3-4-time champion. What does 50 points really mean to you? You're up 22 points. Which I love, like, he said it like they were down by 70. It's, mm-hmm. like, it's a 22-point game with 4 minutes left in the game. You know what I mean?
And they were down by 15 at one point, too. Like, they were losing that game until he went nuclear.
But
you know
he made
what
it
mean?
Sound like it was, like, an enormous breach of sportsmanship. And if you're a Hawks fan, would you not rather see Steph score 50? If you're going to lose the game anyways, would you not rather walk out of there with the story or whatever? I just don't understand his perspective at fucking all on this.
Yeah, I mean, besides it being corny, right? Because I'm off. I wish more coaches left players in at garbage time when it's time to, you know, go in the record books. I really do wish that happened more often, especially the fucking Warriors, especially Curry, because all those great all-time performances from Clay and Steph he's put on ice early, like, he yanked fucking Clay for the whole fourth when he had 60. You know what I mean? Like, bro, keep that motherfucker in. Let him go for 80. You know what I'm saying?
Let these dudes try and score 100 points, bro.
Exactly. But this coming from a Hawks announcer. A Hawks announcer. When your best player is Trae Young and you're going to put this premium on humility. Right? With fucking Trae Young. Super villain. Drag my nuts all the time. Not a humble bone in my body, Trae Young. And now you are valuing humility. Nah, bro, because there's going to be a time when Trey's going to run that shit up and you are not going to keep the same fucking energy. And we all know that, bro.
It's to me, it's like, what? Okay, he's got 50. Is it really that big a deal? Yes. It's 50 points in an NBA game. It's always a big deal. You know what I mean? But like, for me, it's like, how did his day have to go for him to see Steph Curry, virtually unhateable? You know what I mean? Like, he's not like Bron or like these other really good players who, I mean, as we were Steph haters, but at the same time, we are Steph lovers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we always appreciated
him. He doesn't get the same type of vitriol.
He's not a polarizing figure in that
way. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, we all just like Steph. You know, when he, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's for you to, what happened? Did you not get enough mayo on your fucking turkey club today, Robert Rathburn? You know what I mean? Bobby, what happened for you to get to the point where you're seeing an unhateable player go for 50 in the weight Steph goes for 50,
which is, and you're fun, like, as fuck.
Yeah, right, and you're mad at fun. You're just mad. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I just thought, like, what were the events leading up to him saying this?
I think,
you know,
Tyler,
what I mean,
hit it on the head. I think maybe he was taking out some Trae Young frustration on Steph Curry. I mean, maybe this really, like, bothers him that this is the team that he covers, but he obviously can't say shit about Trae Young. He'd be fired 20 seconds after he said this shit.
You think he – come? I mean, yeah. It's just wild to have a Trae Young on your team and you feel that way. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of what Trae Young – first of all, I don't think Trae Young is Trae Young without that nut dragging. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're like – for him to be as little as he is and to do the things he does and to play the game the way he does, even since like high school and college, like if you watch that shit, you know what I mean? You have to have incalculable amount of confidence, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, hubris, arrogance, you know what I'm saying? In order to play the way he does. But I just think that's silly for him to feel that way. But I don't know. I just, for you to look at Steph going for 50 and wonder why it's a big deal. Like, 50 isn't an enormous amount of points. Like, I don't understand it. Like, why do you just not see fun there?
Yeah. I don't know. All right. John, you want to talk about the new Summer Walker album?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
currently terrorizing the streets.
You said what?
Currently terrorizing the streets.
I love the tweet where Old Girl was like, men out here tweeting about Summer Walker. Why don't y'all go build a house? You quote Summer Walker. Go build a house. You know what I mean? I love Summer Walker. I think she's so talented. I think there was a song called I'm There on her first album where I was like, she's a superstar. I played that song for probably a week straight. That one song. It was incredible. Everything she's done, I really enjoyed. I can't listen to her without thinking like how bad TDE fumbled though. You know what I mean? Like whenever I hear her, like this, her lane is what, like, that's what we have from her is like what we wanted from or expected from SZA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, for me, it's like, how did TDE fumble so badly, being that, like, Summer is killing shit, doing what SZA was doing, you know what I'm saying? What, in 2016, the last time she dropped an album?
2017.
And we haven't heard shit from her since, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, going back to what you said, for sure, like, SZA was like the queen of that lane, that, you know, the niggas ain't shit R&B lane. You know what I mean? But it seems like Summer's on the throne now because SZA hasn't dropped in fucking 5 years. So TDE's fumbling for sure. But yeah, Control is just an amazing album. Just an amazing, like, we've talked about this before on the pod. That was an album I heard where I was like, okay, this is like a career definer for SZA right here. Like, it felt that big in that moment, and it still holds up to this day. I still run that shit back all the time. But yeah, man, TDE got to get on that ball, man. I don't necessarily listen to Summer Walker. My wife doesn't really, which I guess is a good sign for our relationship. So, yeah, I might tap into it like this weekend, you know, rolling up and let it ride. We'll see.
She's like, what's your boy name from DC who was on that like the DC anthem with Galt with
Brent Faiyaz.
Brent Faiyaz. She's like the woman, female version of Brent Faiyaz. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, it's like fuckboy shit for women, you know what I mean? But fuckboys actually appreciate it too.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the same thing as, you know, Brent, he's a fuckboy, makes fuckboy music, but like, women appreciate it too, you know what I'm saying? Like, so like, that's, it's toxic as hell, but it's really fun to listen to, you know what I mean?
For sure.
I love all the screenshots of just like people texting their boyfriend, like, why don't you appreciate me more? And just the immediate response of like, turn that shit off.
Yeah.
Dude, she going in, dog. Like, she got like, it's all over the place. You know what I mean? Like, contradicting herself, all that. But I mean, that's the human experience. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I love it. I think she's so talented. And you know, it doesn't seem like she's on the throne. She's on the throne. That's her lane. Mm-hmm. SZA planted her flag and just hasn't done shit since then. And I don't think that's SZA's fault. I think that's TDE, you know what I'm saying? Not putting so much effort in everybody else when there was a bunch of, you know, space for SZA to do her thing as well. Like, I remember SZA was, like, performing in, like Chicago Blackhawks jerseys with, like, no pants on, panties out. Like, this was, like, you know what I mean? It's panties and socks on stage, you feel me? Like, dude, she's created this lane that Summer Walker's just ran with. And I mean, just, she's so talented, she deserves it. And there's enough space for both of them, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I mean, I thought SZA would be doing the numbers that Summer's doing, and I thought I would be quoting SZA lyrics in 2021. You know what I'm saying? But but no, I'm not quoting SZA Walker. I'm past that. But yeah, you know what I mean?
But that's the human experience as well.
Right.
All right, let's talk about Harder They Fall, aka the Black Cowboy movie, which is how Shar had been referring to it for the last 2 weeks that we were getting ready to watch it. We watched it last night. I loved it. I see why you guys liked it so much. This was cool as fuck, man. I want more like genre movies on Netflix and more black people in everything. Like, this shit is such a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's so hard to fuck up a cowboy movie. They're just so much fun. And, you know, I feel like, you know, we talked about this, like, you know, there's only like, it's hard not to stay within like the storylines that like the similar storylines that everybody uses with the cowboy movies, but they did a really good job of making it creative without being, you know, redundant. But I thought, dude, it was, the actors killed it. I know Tyler felt a certain way about Zazie Beetz in that joint.
She was so out of place for me in that shit.
She was cool.
I don't know. I didn't really fuck with the romantic storyline. I didn't really fuck with her aesthetically, because it's like, you know what I'm saying, these motherfuckers was dugging it out, airing that bitch out broad day. Then they got to her and she got that motherfucking top hat on, looking like Slash from Guns N' Roses. I was like, oh no, dog. You fucking up the vibe right now, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, and I cannot see her giving motherfucking Regina the Beats 101 either. You know, that was not believable for me. So.
That's the most unrealistic scene in movie history. Yeah. Was Zazie Beetz beating up Regina King.
Yeah, fuck that. But yeah, it was,
they needed to have Regina trip and hit her head on something.
I think the thing is, y'all see Zazie Beetz. Y'all don't see the character she was playing. That character could have gave, you know what I'm saying, Regina's character the Beetz.
Yeah, the character Beetz she was playing was like 6'2", 250 though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Zazie Beetz out there looking like motherfucking Dot from the Animaniacs. I'm not buying it, dog. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I loved all the characters. I thought it was fun. But I think you're looking at her like she should have been in a different movie. Like, this is like it was like, you know, we're watching a movie and then you look at Zazie Beetz and like, is she even in, like, the way she was, like, you know, dress and all that.
I just think she was the only person who like looked like they groomed themselves particularly. So it's like Jonathan Majors is out there. Just clearly they're like, grow your shit out on your face for 2 months and then come film the movie. Mm-hmm. And then she still had the fro with like the perfect little side part. You right. know what I mean?
She was too moisturized.
The motherfucking fruit teeth moisturized fro. Yeah.
They look like the time period. She looked like 2020. You know what I mean? 2021. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, I feel you. She had shea butter, you know, all of that. You know what I mean? Like,
All right. I think we actually don't have enough time to talk about dynasties. So, do we want to bump that to Monday's show? We got like 5 minutes left.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. We can bump that.
We'll
too.
Bump it because I don't want to shortchange that. I would just tell a quick story about Marcus Thompson because this was the coolest shit ever. But I posted it to my favorite thing about the book. Is that Vinny took the book from me and has devoured that shit. He's asked me about George Mikan and all kinds of other shit. You know what I mean?
I like, love it.
So he's George Mikan from here on out.
Yes, we've been having a ton of fun with that. We were up in L.A. last weekend. He read the book the whole way up. Made himself car sick reading about basketball, which was cool as fuck. but so I tweeted a picture of it, and Marcus hit me up and said that he's going to send Vinny a signed copy. Which he's gonna lose his shit over. So
Marcus is a solid dude, man. Shouts
super cool so dude, solid. Bro. Super cool dude. Definitely cop that book if you haven't. We're gonna be talking about the last three chapters on the next episode, which is the Bron era, the Steph Curry Warriors, and then the Near Dynasties. And we'll finish that thing out on the Monday pod. And until then, we'll see if there's any more developments with the Jokic and Morris brothers.
I want to say one thing, Mike. You talk about how you were talking in a group chat of how lucky you were, you know, to have your shorties and shit like that. But dog, I just want to say how lucky they are to have you, my G. Sure. You know what I mean? Like the fact, like all the things that they've experienced as kids because they're Garabusios, you know what I'm saying, is pretty fire. And then like, the fact that, you know, part of the reason he sent that to you, because it's you that tweeted that out. You know what I mean? I don't think he's sending all these copies out to you, signed copies out to everybody. So, you know, your kids won a lottery too, my G.
For sure.
You're very sweet. And John.
No, I'm very honest. I'm not going to lie to you.
John,
I was telling the truth. That's
we
all.
We went on Thursday. We are on Tuesday. On Monday, my week is so fucked up. On Monday, we said, fuck it. We took the kids to Disneyland entirely because John has infused me with new dad perspective, which is like the most powerful drug that's out there. I've been walking around for the last week like, I get to take my son to baseball practice, you know, instead of I have to. Like, yeah.
Baby girl trying that perspective, though. So we was up for like 3 or 4 hours on Sunday night, man. I'm like, woo. Sheesh, this is what it is, you know what I mean? But
you appreciate that because that's how when she's three, you feel like you all survived something together, which was her actual infancy.
I've been looking at every human differently. Like I'm looking like them. So everybody did this with everybody?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like everybody went through a month, 6 weeks of this with every person alive.
That's what I'm saying. I've not really. It's hard for me to really feel as negatively about someone as I would have before we had kids. Because anytime someone annoys me, I literally in my head still to this day be like, "You used to be a baby."
That's somebody's child for real. You know what I mean? Like that's crazy. That's crazy as hell. But yeah, man. Like I look at it like that. It's just wild.
All right, that is Jenkins and Jones for the week. Thank you so much for fucking with us, for accidentally saying bye out loud in front of your boss when you listen to the podcast.
I love that.
For everything, we appreciate it, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Bye.
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 This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen.
We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.